I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, licensed marriage and family therapist, number 104464, I think. And I am your host of Chico Now every Monday. I have been gone for a little while. You've been listening to some episodes I pre-recorded and some repeats because I had a baby. I had a little girl, and I actually had her at Feather River Hospital 2 weeks before the campfire. So when that was happening, I was really thinking a lot about my nurses and my doctor and hoping that everybody was okay because I was just there. You know, that was one of those there by the grace of God go I kind of moments. But now it's months later. Now we're in January. It's the new year, and I am still on maternity leave from being a therapist. I'm not going back to work to provide therapy to folks until March, but I am having my radio show since this is just something I do for fun as a hobby. It's how I give back to the world. And I was driving over here thinking, what am I going to talk about? It's been so long since I spoke. I'm on maternity leave. I sit at home with a baby who nurses all day, and I watch HGTV. We got a Amazon Fire Stick for the TV, and let me tell you guys, you have a brand new baby who just nurses all day, and you have an Amazon Fire Stick with HGTV on it. It is heaven. You have every excuse to sit there and watch all of the shows you want to watch, or at least for me. I love it. I have literally watched all 5 seasons of Fixer Upper, and legitimately, I have even gone on their website to look at houses. Do you know how cheap it is to live in Waco, Texas? I have fantasized. Those houses, for less than what I bought my house here for, you can buy a mansion. Anyways, my husband's not giving up his amazing job at the university, and I'm not uprooting my family to go to Waco. But when you're sitting there on maternity leave, the sky's the limit. And, oh, speaking of the fire, I wanted to let you guys know that a couple years ago, somebody reached out to me and let me know that they were on the fire crew at a local prison. And that prison listens to our station and listens to my show, and they thanked me for having this show. And so if any of those folks are listening right now, I want to tell you thank you, because not just for listening to my show, but for everything you did. A lot of you guys were out there on the campfire, and that's like, you're kind of unsung heroes, right? You're out there helping, picking up the pieces, and doing your service. But a lot of people don't know about it. And so you're putting your lives on the line just as much as the other folks who are firefighters as their career. And so those listeners out there who I was informed, listen, I just want to let you know, I want to single you out and let you know that you are appreciated. Okay, so today, I thought we would talk about attachment. I always get ideas from girlfriends about what should my topic be this week or next week, or sometimes I'll do a few shows at once. And a couple of girlfriends said to talk about attachment. And so before we start talking about attachment, I would like to make a disclaimer, okay? And I think it's a very important one, and it's one that I don't think I've ever talked about before, but I see happening in clients, or I see happening when I talk to girlfriends, because, you know, you just can't help it sometimes. Sometimes you just have all this information in your head, and so you're talking to a girlfriend, and sometimes a therapist in you comes out, If you're a computer guy and someone is talking to you about some sort of software, that your computery part of you comes out, right? So sometimes that stuff just comes out. And I realized that when we talk about attachment, attachment is so rooted in childhood and in the way that we were raised, that a lot of times people can start having these aha moments about, oh, that's why I do this. I do this thing now as a grown adult because this happened over here in my childhood. And what can often end up happening is parent blaming and resentment towards our parents. And I want to make sure that doesn't happen. So as we talk about attachment and you start thinking about things that happened in your childhood, that happened in your life when you were younger, happened to you, happened around you, because we just pick up on witnessing things, right? It didn't even need to happen to us. I want you to keep this kind of place in your heart that says, my parents did the best they could with the skills that they had. And I want you to think about if your children were grown or are grown and listening to the same thing you're listening to, and they're identifying things in their childhood that made them who they are today that is less than desirable, they might be blaming you, right? And so given that idea, when we think about what we went through in our life when we were children, we do it with an idea to understand ourselves, not to place blame on the people who raised us. And it's very important. Otherwise, we're going to come out of this feeling worse, feeling angry at someone we weren't angry at before. And so it's really important that we make that distinction. I'll be right back after this commercial break.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. My license number is 104464. I still have pregnancy brain, and there are certain things that just evade me. And I use the wrong words a lot. So just bear with me a little bit. It's very real. And it lasts a lot longer than pregnancy. Okay. That's neither here nor there. We are talking about attachment theory. Oh, I forgot my disclaimers. It's the law. Disclaimer number one, this is a 30-minute radio show. It is not intended to substitute therapy in your life. If you are triggered by something we talk about, I want to encourage you to seek someone out in the community that are qualified to help you. That would be a marriage and family therapist, clinical social worker, clinical psychologist. There are a lot of clergy out there who take extra training in being able to counsel people. So there's first disclaimer, second disclaimer. I had to tell you my license number and I need to tell you where I work. I work at Chico Creek Counseling. And that number is 410-0505. Okay. I think that's all. Okay, so we're talking about attachment. And what is attachment? Attachment is our style of being comfortable and capable of having honest and meaningful relationships with other people. And so there's a healthy attachment, and then there's anxious attachment and insecure attachment. And we'll go through those maybe later on in the session or in the show. But right now I want to talk a little bit more about how does attachment originate? And that's why I gave you that disclaimer at the beginning of the show. Attachment originates in utero and during the first couple of years of life. I know. When you're just a little ball of mush. I've got a 2-month-old baby right here. She's a little ball of mush, right? You think nothing is really going in. All she does is sleep and nurse and poop and sleep and nurse and poop. She kind of came online a couple days ago, and now she's smiling back at you intentionally, and she's trying to move her hands intentionally. But she's a little ball of mush. Well, attachment is, while they're that ball of mush, at some point in time, they have to start learning, right? They start learning something. And you were a little ball of mush at one point in time. You were somebody's little ball of mush. And you started learning and had to start putting that foundation down. And when you're a little ball of mush, there's not a whole lot of things to learn that you are capable of learning yet, right? But one of those things is, if I cry, will people pick me up? How can I get my needs met? How do I get my, so if I just fuss a little bit, will I be picked up? If I cry a ton, does that make me picked up? No one picks me up. So I just stop bothering. I don't bother crying anymore. So that's the very first foundation of the little things. Like, that's survival, right? And so the survival part stays with you for your life. And so I think personally, and a lot of the research out there shows that once you learn what's going on with you, you can start identifying it and retraining your brain. There's called brain plasticity. And that means your brain is constantly changing and shifting. So once you identify what's going on, you can start changing and shifting it. So we don't need to think about, oh, I'm broken from childhood and I'm never going to be fixed again. That's really important. But we look back at our lives. And if you were a baby, a little dude, and there was some trauma or some tragedy that happened in your life, and or your parent had major depressive disorder, and they just couldn't tune into you, and so you would cry and cry and cry and cry and cry for a long time. Now you're an adult, and you might be one of those folks who thinks, whatever I'm going through is not important unless it's a big deal. So you'll push off your needs and not communicate them unless it's really, really important. And then it's really, really important. And if the rest of the world doesn't see how important it is, it feels like the end of the world, right? Or you don't feel like anybody is going to hear you or listen to you unless you make a big deal. So some of those are people who they go from 0 to 100 within minutes. They're fine, they're fine, they're fine. And then they're drama. And sometimes that's us. Sometimes that's our spouse. Sometimes that's our best friend. We don't know. And so what do you do with that? Well, you start identifying, who am I? Am I that kind of a person? And if you are, like, don't judge it. Don't judge yourself. That's not your fault. You didn't choose that. That was laid down when you were a little ball of mush. Now you're aware of it. And so now you start thinking, what is it that I'm thinking to myself? Every time I have been in a predicament where I needed help, I didn't ask for help until I was in the dire straits. So I'm going to start learning how to ask for help a little bit sooner so I can avoid the dire straits and start seeing. And then when people do help you, when people do attend to you, when you weren't screaming, before you screamed, you start paying attention to that and acknowledging that, hey, I did not need to yell and throw a tantrum to get my way. I asked somebody and my need was met. That was amazing. I really like how that felt. And so then you just keep playing with it. You just keep testing that theory out about you. Not about the people around you. Not, is this person going to get my need met? No, no, no. It's not about them. It's all about you. Okay, commercial break. We'll be right back.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I work at Chico Creek Counseling. My license number is 104464. And you can contact me at 921-5122. 530. Okay, so we were just talking about attachment. And so that was one type of attachment. Now we're going to talk about the other kind of attachment. So this is also from when you were a little one, maybe a little bit older, and there was a lot of, let's say, chaos in your life. Let's say either there was a lot of conflict in your parents, or they got a divorce, or people lived with you who they were highly conflictual. It was just there's a lot of incongruity in the people around you. So you didn't know what stable relationships looked like or felt like. There's a sense of instability in your life. And so now you're anxious all the time. Are these people going to leave me? Is this person going to up and walk out? Is this person really for me? And there's a lot of insecurity to that. And so now as an adult, you're overly worried about the relationship that you have and its stability. And therefore, you're pursuing your partner more than the average person would pursue. Does that make sense? I hope so. Sometimes I hear myself talk and I feel like the words that are coming out of your mouth, Jessica, are convoluted. Okay. So what this would look like would be a spouse who's overeager to please and is putting a lot of pressure on the other spouse. Or they are just waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time. And so sometimes they'll push and pull. They'll push you away in order to try to test you to see if you'll stay or see if you'll leave. There's a lot of anxiety around that. And when you stay, they can rest easy for a little while. And then as time goes by and you did stay, the investment in your relationship gets higher and they get more worried that you're going to leave again. Because when they were little balls of mush, there was a lot of anxiety-provoking issues around relationships. So the relationships in their life that are important to them, my mommy, my daddy, my grandparents, the neighbor who I go to their house all the time, whatever it is. And so it's not like people were being mean to them. They weren't being mistreated. Their parents might have been amazing parents to them, but there was a lot of conflict. And so they didn't learn how to understand that conflict doesn't mean people are going to leave. So now as an adult, they're always looking for the conflict, waiting for the conflict, and trying to people please everybody, trying to make everything be okay because they want to make sure, remember, we're trying to keep ourselves safe. Their sense of safety is on the line on whether or not the people around them, which also means they have a hard time accepting criticism or disagreement. If you disagree with them about something that is important to them, they don't realize that you're just disagreeing on that topic. They feel like your relationship with them is on the line because you guys disagreed about that. Or you had a falling out. You guys got upset. You walked out in the heat of the moment. That doesn't mean you don't care about them. It just means you got to go cool down. But they don't understand that. And so some of that is also, and so often because that's the most horrible thing you could do to them, because they're angry, that's what they'll be doing to you because they're trying to elicit in you the horror it would feel for them. Because we do things to hurt people in the way that it would hurt us. So you might have that kind of significant other in your life, or you might be that kind of significant other and you know that about yourself and you don't like it. Well, now you kind of have a little bit more of an understanding of where that came from. But remember, I do not want you to call up your parents and say, you did this to me. This is why I'm this way. This is why I can't have a relationship, because you screwed up. You know what? You might be screwing up with your kids too. And when they grow up, they could have that same conversation with you. We don't know. We don't know what's going to stick. We just do the best we can with what we have. And now maybe you'll have some more tools in your toolbox, right? And so we see these behaviors about ourselves and we go, okay, so this is the origination. I'm not just like, I'm not crazy. There's not this like horrible thing that's wrong with me, because people do that. What's wrong with me? I'm broken. Well, okay, so now we know where it originated. And we can't go back in time, and we can't have you be reparented. And your parents were doing the best they could with what they had. That's, I truly believe that. Just because our parents make mistakes that stick with us and kind of mess us up a little bit sometimes doesn't mean that they weren't doing the best they could. Their parents probably made some mistakes and messed them up a little bit. And they were already trying to change that pattern. And they did change the pattern a little bit. You're probably better. They probably did a better job than their parents did. So we're just doing the best we can. But now we can give ourselves some grace, give ourselves some forgiveness, and move forward and go, okay, well, this is why I do this, and it makes sense why I do that. So now I need to find a way to contradict it. Now I know that I'm running out of this relationship because I'm scared of being rejected. I need to go back to my partner and say, I'm really scared of being rejected. Is that what was going on for you?